And now on This Green Earth, I have the pleasure of speaking with the founder and CEO of Pale Blue Batteries, Tom Bishop. Tom, thanks for joining us on This Green Earth.
Thank you, Claire. I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
So, Tom, I think sometimes we look at what's happening with the Earth as a whole, and it can seem really heavy, but there are little ways each one of us can contribute to having a more sustainable lifestyle. So we talked with Kimberly Flores about how you can refill your products and how you can have just a simpler holiday season that moves in that direction. So when we're talking about single-use batteries here, first, what made you get into this industry, and why was it important to you to look at the waste that we're causing through batteries?
Yeah, I mean, that was precisely the reason we started the company. The question became how to go solve that problem. So single-use batteries are in everyone's lives, and we can't really escape them because they power the devices that kind of power our lives. But we're throwing away about 20,000 pounds of single-use batteries every hour in the U.S., and it's about 100,000 pounds an hour around the globe. That sounds terrible, but it's even worse because most of those will not be recycled. The vast majority are going to end up in landfills and incinerators. So we said, well, if somebody made a great rechargeable battery, we think people would actually move beyond single-use. And I think the reason we are all still using alkaline batteries is no one created a great one. The hurdles to creating a great one are numerous. It's certainly it's non-trivial from a product development standpoint, but the technologies are there, the underlying technologies, the things that we use, the technologies that are available to integrate into a product like ours to make it happen are there, but you end up with a relatively expensive solution, but if it pays you back in 5 or 6 recharges, and then you can use it another 995 times. The ROI is there, but everyone in the battery world, or at least on the consumer side of it, thinks of them as like cheaper is better. And the alternative rechargeable batteries have been pretty terrible. So cheaper is not better, and the rechargeables weren't there. And we said, let's make a really great rechargeable battery and see what happens.
So when you are looking to build a company around sustainability, were these personal choices that you wanted to make and were hoping that you could chip away and maybe make a difference yourself? Or did you really, you're like, this is a viable business model because we think it hasn't been done, or was it both?
Yeah, it was certainly the former before the latter. We didn't know at the beginning if we had a viable business because, you know, around the same time you had Amazon Basics making AA's for 23 cents a piece. And, you know, an Energizer, a Duracell, a great battery, but single use was, you know, 75 cents. And our batteries, you know, a pack of AA's is $30. So you're like, okay, that's asking a lot. You know, it's 5 or 6, 7 recharges before you get your money back. So that was a big question. But the real heart and soul of the company was like, let's have an impact. You know, it's a group of people that have the capabilities to create new things and, you know, invent new things and manufacture new things. But how do you then turn that into a business was the next model. But it really was like, genuinely, let's try to get rid of this single-use battery problem. And when we started researching it, we didn't even know how big the problem was. But when you start researching it, the numbers are just devastating. We see it in our own homes, but the numbers are just huge. And without a solution on the horizon, that was just going to continue forever, potentially.
Yeah, we just talked about that because when I go to charge up microphones, if I'm going to interview somebody and I'm using a Sennheiser, that is a one-use battery. It's a single-use battery. And the reason why those are going in there is, to your point, batteries that I had that were rechargeable didn't seem to hold a charge for very long. Are these issues that you look into, and did you tackle those?
Yeah, the rechargeables that everyone is used to have a few fundamental problems. One is some limitations of the chemistries, and those are the chemistries that were available to the market at the time, so nickel metal hydride being the most predominant one. They have problems, this chemistry has problems with reliability, long charging times, some memory issues. The batteries tend to shrink in capacity as you use them, especially if you don't fully discharge and fully charge, which no consumer really has the opportunity to fully discharge a battery and fully charge. You end up with a battery that doesn't last very long. Mm-hmm. The other side of it is the charging scenario, where you have to have a special charger, an AC outlet, maybe 10 or 12 hours. So we wanted to tackle all of those things. you want a battery that you can charge quickly, because when you need a battery, you need it generally like right now or very soon. So you want to be able to charge fast, but you also want to be able to charge anywhere. And as our phones and all the other electronics we use have moved to USB, it just made sense to integrate a USB port into the battery. So you can use our cable or any cable. We don't really have a charger. You just have a USB cable and all the chargers built into every battery. So the whole space had been dominated by what I think is just old technologies. And we just wanted to bring best-in-class chemistry, lithium ion to be specific, and USB charging. And if you put best-in-class chemistry and best-in-class charging user experience, then theoretically you could have, you know, a fantastic battery that anybody can use.
Yeah, and in theory, how many batteries, if this is adopted, do you think you can keep out of a landfill? Do you think that you can save from going into our landfills and then, you know, obviously by default into our earth and into our streams?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, about 20,000 pounds an hour. So just let's say for our batteries that, you know, they're rated for 1,000 uses, you could keep using them after that. They start to lose some capacity. But if every battery we sold replaced 1,000 alkalines over its lifetime, that number really adds up. And you're talking many billions of alkaline batteries per year, something to the tune of maybe 20 or 30 billion a year globally. And that's a lot of batteries. You're talking, you know, getting up towards 1 million tons of batteries per year, mm-hmm. and maybe 5% are getting recycled. So if that's the case, you're talking about maybe, you know, 950,000 tons of batteries staying out of landfills and incinerators every year.
What does your packaging look like? Are you cognizant about how you're packaging and shipping?
Great question. We set out specifically at the beginning of this to not only eliminate single-use batteries, but all the packaging and trips to the store that go with single-use. Because generally, if you need batteries, like I said, you need them now. So you're either going to run to the store or you're going to abandon what you're doing. But every time that you do, you're going to end up with packaging. And so our packaging is 100%, the plastic parts of our packaging are 100% post-consumer recycled plastic. The other parts are curb recyclable cardboard. So very, very easy to make sure that it gets recycled. The plastic case itself, we could have gone with some very cheap solution that was single use, but we wanted to make sure people had a way to organize their batteries and travel with them. So we actually invested and over-invested a little bit in the storage travel case to make sure that it has a long life. And so as we all want to kind of clear up the clutter in our homes and mm-hmm. our kitchens or wherever we're storing things, is having a really nice storage case that people can use over and over again. But yeah, we did a lot of work to get to that 100% post-consumer plastic solution on the plastic side.
I'd like to talk about some of the partnerships and givebacks that you're doing, but let's start, because we are a radio station, it sounds like you have partnered with a very famous person in the music industry. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the Ernie Ball family and brand was created in the 1960s, basically invented rock and roll guitar strings and a lot of guitar accessories and guitars after that. And we partnered with the Ernie Ball brand is, you know, obviously named after Ernie, but it's a third generation family business in the music space. And they called me up one day and said, hey, can we make better batteries for musicians? Musicians use so many batteries. You know, every rehearsal and every performance, you don't start with a half-used battery. And you use single-use, so you're starting with a new battery every time that you perform, especially if you're in a performance situation or you're a professional. And that adds up to a lot of batteries. And so not only could we help them solve the battery waste problem, but using our batteries, electronics on board, we're able to make a better battery for musicians that performs more stably and actually can give better audio quality to the music performance itself. And so that partnership with Ernie Ball launched a few weeks ago. We're in Guitar Centers in Sweetwater, but we're also, you know, we're on stage with some amazing musicians from Red Hot Chili Peppers to Miley Cyrus and My Chemical Romance and others. And in having our batteries out there being used by professional musicians is an honor as a, you know, small local company here in Park City to be on the global stage, let's say. But that opportunity is to kind of create an entirely new category of power solutions for musicians. And just mm-hmm. like, what a cool, I came here to Utah with Skull Candy. So I have some roots in the music space, and the opportunity to kind of help musicians make better music is equally exciting. But, you know, the waste problem is the first and foremost for all of our partnerships. First and foremost is, how do we reduce the waste being produced?
Yeah. In the long run, you not only are helping to save the planet, you are helping your pocketbook. Also, not taking those trips, like you said, to the store and that constant packaging and all of that cycle that we get into kind of goes away.
Yeah, well, let's say you're spending a dollar for your battery, say a dollar for a AA or AAA nowadays is fairly normal. And 9 volts are, what, $3, $4 now? And we sell a battery called the CR123, which is like $6 or $7 each. But if you can use it 1,000 times and you're replacing a battery that, let's say, is a dollar to $6, at a dollar, you're saving $1,000 per battery. So a pack of four of ours could save you $4,000 over its lifetime. So plenty of savings there to be meaningful. And as you use a 9-volt, like if you were using a 9-volt every day as a musician, you know, $4 a battery, you might save, a pack of two might save $8,000 over its lifetime. So there's a ton of savings there. But I think there's this other component of it, and I saw it with my kids. If they were using something, let's say my son was charging the glow-in-the-dark stars under his bunk bed every night with a mag light that uses D-cell batteries. If he was using alkaline single-use batteries, I probably would have told him to cut it out, or I would have hid that flashlight. But with our batteries, I'm like, have at it, and just keep going. And when we're on the campfire and the kids have headlamps on and they're, you know, making marshmallows on the fire, and their headlamps are still on and they're still running, you don't tell them to stop the fun. You just keep going. It doesn't matter because it's a fairly guilt-free use of a battery, which is very unusual because I think we all inherently know that it's kind of bad to keep using batteries and waste them because not only are they expensive, but you know where they're going. And so I just think that other component of it is like an emotional freedom of like, hey, I can use these. And, you know, I was walking my dog yesterday in Round Valley and I got a headlamp and I put it on the dog's neck so I can see her when she's running around in the dark. And it's like, that battery's still got 1,000 uses on it. It's not going to be a problem. It's just to be able to have that kind of waste-free use of your products.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And you do partner. I saw that you partner with 1% for the Planet. You partner with POW, Protect Our Winners. So why was it important for you to team up and give back?
Yeah, I think it's the emotional glue for the team is to like have an impact. You know, it's one thing to do the hard work of any business. It's another thing to know that you're having an impact. So we've partnered up, just speaking here locally, our most active partnership is with Fish for Garbage, and we do river cleanups every year. And we go back and clean the same rivers, and it's always surprising how much waste comes off of the rivers around here. But just on our lower Provo cleanup every year, you know, it's typically around 15,000 pounds of trash that we'll pick up on a, you know, 4-hour exercise. Mm-hmm. We also partner with Swanner Preserve here and sponsor their summer interns. We've worked with 1% for the Planet from the very beginning, and they give us the kind of structure to support nonprofits, from Wasatch Trails to Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, which is an advocacy group for public land access. So anywhere that we can find partners doing things that have impact on the environment or clean air, water, we look for those partnerships. And it's all kind of built under that framework with 1% for the Planet.
We are speaking with Tom Bishop, who is the founder and CEO of Pale Blue Batteries.
Correct.
And your website is palebluearth.com, correct?
Right. That's right.
So if anybody wants to find out more about them, go to palebluearth.com. Thank you so much, Tom, for being a part of this Green Earth.
Thanks, Claire. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.